This is 12 March, 03, Wednesday evening, and we're in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression. And very thankful you're here tonight because we've got some exciting things to look at in the book of Job, the first book of the Bible. I've come to realize in the study that this book has more about bitterness than any other one book in the Bible and almost anywhere else in all the Bible. Combined, we'll learn more in the book of Job about bitterness and the great damage of bitterness as the third head of the seven-headed dragon. And it is so fundamental to a person's relationship with God when we become bitter that the Spirit can open your eyes to these things. Please spend a moment in prayer. If you're listening to this on the internet or on tapes, however be it, you're experiencing bitterness, don't deny it. It's what we're here studying these things for, to help us understand bitterness and to understand how not to be bitter. And if you deny it, you will not get through it. It is extremely damaging to one's relationship with God, more than I had ever imagined, ever been taught about bitterness. I've had traditional teaching on bitterness, but I hope that as we go through this tonight, you'll see how fundamental it is to your relationship with God. Job is the first book written, and I know it's not your first book in the Bible, Genesis is, but Job is the first book written. It was written long before Genesis. It was written before Abraham, before the Jews. It's just a book out there that God wants us to, first thing God wants us to know. And it's about our relationship with Him. And often people will become very bitter at God. And this is one of the heart cells of bitterness. And as I said, the book of Job probably has more about bitterness than, well, it does than any other one book. And gives an understanding more than all everywhere else. And I hope that I can communicate this to you to help you if you're suffering bitterness in your soul, not to deny it. Please remember that Job is not a new believer. Job has been a believer for quite some time. He is considered one of the top. He's not, but he's just considered one of the great believers, and he has to go through all of this. So often believers that experience some of these things we're studying in stress, anxiety, and depression have been Christians for a long time and maybe even gone to church for a long time and don't really understand why this is happening to them. They must be doing something wrong and all the various things that we pile on ourselves and each other. But Job has been around a long time. In fact, if you study a lot of people in the Bible that we have a lot of information about, Job, 42 chapters, many chapters about Abraham, multitude of chapters about David. And you'll note in these studies that it's not about getting them saved. It's about getting them to the point of trusting God. That's how difficult this is. So if you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, I understand that. And please understand that you just may be on part of a journey with God. And the other side is unbelievable. You'll make the whole journey. Don't be embarrassed by it. Just understand things are happening in your spiritual life. And that's what we want to learn from Job, a lot about bitterness. In order that we can see these things, let's begin with a word of prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes that this is not just a story, but this is fundamental to all mankind. The book of Job is like an umbrella of the whole Bible. It's a seed work of everything that's in the Bible. It's in the book of Job, if we understand it correctly, including the fundamental problem between man and God. By that I mean believer in God. So let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer here, our assembly, those of you that are listening on the internet, tapes, CDs, whatever, to just calm down and for a few moments, let's rely on the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and our ears. Let's pray. Pray now, Father, that your Spirit will give me the ability to communicate these truths. about the stronghold of bitterness in our soul. How horrible it is. How destructive it is in our relationship with you. Make these things clear to believers who are experiencing these things, Father. So we trust your Spirit to now reveal and open up the truth to us. We pray these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. So the third head of the seven-headed dragon, bitterness and resentment. Last week we noted how the heart, our soul inside of us, knows its own bitterness in Proverbs 14:10. Then we looked at Ezekiel 27:31. Then we spent some time on what is bitterness and resentment, what is the source of bitterness and resentment. And we spent some time in Job 7. And people, Job is just so important in understanding bitterness. Job speaks for so many believers. He may be speaking for you. By the time we cover some passages, you'll see these things. He might be speaking for you. Probably right over here, James. Get one right in there. Job 7:11 that we saw last week. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish. And we saw that that's the whole concept of stress, anxiety, and depression, that word anguish. That's where Job is of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Now, one thing that I hope we'll see about bitterness, while anger rages, bitterness burns slowly. Sometimes in houses, you might see a fire and the whole house is on fire. And the firemen are putting it out, fighting the flames. But in my lifetime, I have seen a few fires where there wasn't any real flame. The people were gone, and the fire just simmered through the whole house, destroying it. And it just burned slowly, smoldering away. Well, that's what we have happening with bitterness. This is what bitterness is. It just smolders day in and day out as the conditions of your life remain the same or get worse. Your life just continues to, we'll relate this to your Christian life later, we'll relate this to marriage because that's what Paul does, especially to the husband. But your life is just in that horrible position every day. It's the same burden, and it just gets worse and it gets worse, and one slowly becomes bitter. Bitter isn't something that just hits us. Bitterness is something that slowly grows as each day we can't change the circumstances of our life. I want to look at another very important passage. People, there are a lot of passages in the book of Job dealing with bitterness. I don't have time in this study. I'm spending more time than I thought because I'm learning some things about bitterness that I hope will help you from the book of Job itself. I have a lot of things that we could be covering in other passages, but this is so fundamental to what bitterness is. And so I want to look at another passage tonight. And again, I want to emphasize that anger, like anger, bitterness, is fundamentally directed toward God. And let's take a look at that. Please turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Job 10:1. And again, I encourage some of you who are experiencing the suffering of bitterness, take time, sit down, open your Bibles. People pay, I understand, $125 an hour for psychiatrists, psychologists, Christian counselors, and all these things to handle all of this. It's free. Just sit down and let's see what God the Holy Spirit can do for you. Now, Job 10:1, let's take a look at it. I'll read the verse and then we'll take a look at what's happening. I loathe my own life. And some of you listening feel that way? You just loathe it. You hate it. You're sick. I will give full vent to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Now, note the first phrase. I loathe my own life. In Job 7 last week, we saw the word anguish. Here we have the word loathe. These are words that indicate stress, anxiety, depression. And the Hebrew word here means exactly that. It means to loathe It means to grow weary. It means to grieve. It means to be sick. It refers to the slow reaction to what's going on in your life. And a valid translation here that I think will probably be more pinpoint to some of you who are experiencing this: I am sick of my life. Or better, for the Hebrew, my soul is sick of life. I'm sorry if you hear that way, feel that way tonight, because we have but one life. We get one journey on here. I'm so sorry when I see people in marriage, in life, wasted away, play games with each other, waste a day, waste a night. Life is so short. It's impossible to teach that to young people. But when you get a certain age and the football seasons all run together, you begin to realize it. I don't know what ladies look at that run together, but for men, you reach that point where the seasons just, there's no seasons. You just, football's over and it's all over, you're starting again. And you realize how short life is and how valuable life. This is what God is in. He's in the life-giving business. And here someone is sick of their life. We're in Job chapter 10, verse 1. So a valid translation, I am sick of my life. My soul is sick of living. My life. Now that's important. That's important to you to take a look at what's happened in your soul and why you're the way you are. Not just a single event, but something that passes, not something that passes in a day or even in a week or even in a month, but something that just goes on and on and on in your life. It probably gets worse. The divorce, the finance, the ridicule, it just gets worse. And doesn't get any better. Just keeps going on. And there is no relief. Job does not want to live any longer if this is what life is about. And those are the people I'm speaking to in this series. We've reached that point. Job, and in one way I hope that if you're not there, that you never go there. And in another way I hope you do, if that's what it takes. If that's what it takes. Job does not want to live any longer if this is what his life is about. And maybe some of you have reached the point where you're tired of living. Well, this is what the study's about. In understanding bitterness, note the next thing in our verse. I will give full vent to my complaint. Now, if you recall from the last study in Ezekiel and Job 7, that bitterness must eventually be expressed. It will come out. The complaints will be expressed. Look at the phrase full vent. Full vent. Nothing of bitterness will be held back. He will let it all out. Everything that is in his mind, in his soul, must now be shouted out. It must be declared. And again, people, this is so important. Please don't deny it. His complaint is against God. Most Christians, somehow in their mind, they have the idea, well, I can't be angry at God. I can't be bitter at God. So I'll be bitter and angry at my spouse, my ex-spouse, the world, this person, that person, people that hurt me. No, people were angry and were bitter at God. This is another very important principle not to be denied. When you are angry about your life, when you are bitter about your soul, when you're sick of your life, people, you're bitter at God. If you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for any time, you know that God is fundamentally responsible for all things. And so we start orienting to God. With God, you complain to God. You're angry and bitter with God, and you complain to God because you blame God. And therefore, bitterness is directed toward God. Job justifies. Let me show you what he's doing. so that if you go through this, Job justifies his bitterness with God because it is God's fault. And Job's thinking. And in the hidden part of your soul, probably, you've been thinking the same thing. Job is now expressing what a lot of people who go through bitterness have in the secrets of their heart. That I know God's in ultimate control, and therefore, why are you making my life so bitter? You're causing the bitterness of my soul, God. So if you're experiencing bitterness, think about, don't you in some way come back to God when you're in the darkness? Maybe you don't voice it. Maybe you do, but maybe you don't. Maybe you're afraid to. Well, I can't say that about God. If I say it about God, God will really get me. But boy, do I feel that way in my heart. Well, first of all, let me tell you about your God. He is so big. Just using that expression, he is so big. He's not going to fall apart because you're bitter at him. In fact, the more that you will be like Job here and acknowledge that, you're starting the recovery. You're starting your recovery. You're starting to tear down the stronghold of bitterness. But you're really bitter toward God. If he really loved you, if he really cared about you, he would not allow this to keep going on in your life. He would not have allowed what's happening to you if he really loved you. Therefore, you are justified in being bitter toward God. God is responsible for all things. Job 10. God is responsible for all things. If he truly loved me, this would be just going on and on. I understand a little suffering. I understand a little testing. I understand some adversity. But doggone it, it's just going on and on and on. And everybody that can steps on me. And there's no relief. If God loved me, this would be happening. Many people come to some horrible roads in their life because of their preconceived ideas about God. They come to a lot of false doctrine. But this one is blaming God. Now let's look what Job says. I loathe my own life. I will give full vent to my complaint. It will help to see or understand the flow of what is going on inside of Job if we translate this. Since I am sick of my life, since my soul loathes my life, I'm going to vent. That's the idea of what's going on here. Now let's stop a moment. Let's relate this to the spiritual warfare and to the adversary. His design against your life. His design against you walking by faith, your relationship with God. You're experiencing the love of God. When Job says here that he will not fully, that he is now going to fully vent his complaint against God, people, this is very close to Satan's whole design at the beginning of the book of Job to get Job to curse God, to abandon God. And Job is very close to this point. He is very close to right where God, where Satan wants him, to curse God. Satan wants him to do that. His wife told him to do that. And he's very close with here now his loathing his life. And now he's going to just not hold back anything in his vent against God. So he's close to this point. People, I beg you to please be aware and do not deny that you have an adversary to your spiritual life. Some people teach you don't. You do. You do. Hal Lindsey wrote a very important book, Satan is Alive and Well. And a lot of Christians don't understand the schemes of Satan against your life and how important your individual life is to God. We saw this last night in the study of Revelation 2. No matter what your life is about, it is important. It is so important that Satan will do what he can to get you to curse your God. See, he's already lost you if you accepted Christ as Savior. You snuck under the wire. But he still wants to neutralize any relationship you might have with God. Satan desires most of all that you do not live in his love, in God's love. He hates the love of God. If we had to say one thing Satan hates above all else, he hates the love of God because the love of God defeated him at the cross. He cannot understand, duplicate the love of God. And he will do whatever he can to get you neutralized from it, hating it, cursing it, and not living under it. He wants you to leave God. And he's going to do everything he can. Now for some, he uses other tactics like work, fame, fortune, money, success, pleasure. But for others, he uses things that bring us to our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. The old joke is, boy, I'd rather be tested by success than by all of the suffering. Yeah, I guess we all would. But the problem is, rarely do you realize where you are in that. But when you're hurting like Job is, you come face to face with God. You come to an understanding of God. And you're going to vent toward God. Now he says, since my soul is sick of life, I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Now, again, notice something else where bitterness resides. It resides in the soul, the nephesh, the invisible real you. This is where you're bitter. This is where your thought process is bitterness toward God. It is the soul, people, that seeks peace. Not the body. It's the soul. It's the soul that needs contentment. This is where you are bitter. And this is where bitterness destroys the soul. The whole thought process. Now let's look at the word I speak. I speak. When you're bitter and you're burdened and you hate your life, I speak. That is, I will not hold back. The continual pressures of my life, and I'm speaking now as the pastor teaching this to you, that you can sense the profanity here. Doesn't use profanity, but you can sense it. Just what is profanity often, not just street profanity, but profanity often is, without any other word, just with the illusion of words expressing something, and you can sense that. I will speak, and doggone it, nobody's going to hold me back. I'm going to say what I want to say. The continual pressures of my life, and I hate my life, and I'm sick of living. Now, add to all of this his own three friends, so-called friends, have added more and more suffering pressure. Let me stop and say this, please. If you have a friend who is in stress, anxiety, and depression because of difficult times, I don't care if it's by sin or not, don't add to their burden. Don't intensify their stress, anxiety, depression. If that's the way you think about God and you think they're getting what they deserve, get away from them. Because you don't even know God. Don't be like Job's two friends. Be the kind of friend Jesus Christ is. Bear their burden. Be the kind of friend at the end of Job where Elihu comes in. Okay, what's going on? Those that are around someone who reaches, now stay with me now. What's going on when this person starts letting go? I am going to zip my bitterness. Let me just say in humor almost, you don't want to be around when this person does that. It's just really good if you're not around. What's going on? Those that are around someone who reaches the point where they've got to vent their bitterness, and note, remember we've seen it in Ezekiel, we've seen it in another passage in Job, we see it again. This is something about bitterness. You're learning about bitterness. You're seeing it action. But what happens is, Christians that are around someone who reaches a point where their bitterness can no longer be held in are very quick, or often quick to judge. Throw up your hands and say something like, well, you've really lost it now. You're really sick. You need help. Yes, they do, but not the kind you're thinking of. I hope to help you understand what you're seeing. When you see somebody that you love, they've been harboring the bitterness and finally has to vent. Job did it. The idea here is, if you'll understand this, it'll help you to deal with them, help you encourage them, not judge them. The idea here is that Job will relieve himself by voicing his complaint. It just has been held in, and I'm going to use the word explode. The pressure of bitterness, the stronghold of bitterness in the soul, has caused such a thing in the soul that it just explodes. It has to be expressed. And that's what you're seeing, a relief of their soul. This SAD of bitterness is built up, and it has to be released. Now, I hope you're listening. Those of you who are suffering from bitterness, this bitterness left in the stronghold, it's going to reach a point where it must be released. I'm going to call this the explosion of bitterness. It just has to finally be vented. The explosion of bitterness. But what kind of explosion of bitterness? What kind? Pain? Anger? No. Just stay with what's going on here. This will really help you if you follow me. This is a complaint. Look at the word. I got it. Complain. This is a complaint against the very nature of God. I will not hold back my complaint about what you are doing, God. And in fact, how wrong you are, God. Now, most people, like those three friends, you hear your friends say that, and that person has been a wonderful, everybody thought a wonderful Christian, and they do this, you're ready to say, well, they may not even be saved. They may not even be saved. I can't believe they said these things about God. The first book of the Bible, think about that. First thing God wanted us to understand. Sometimes people, God has to destroy your false view of Him that you've had for so many years of your life. I don't know how old Job is. Let's say Job's in his 40s, late 30s, just our age time factor. And everybody thinks he's this great Christian, and you hear him doing all of this. God, you are wrong, and start bending against God. And you go, oh, man, I got to get away. This guy's really, ooh, he's flipped. No. He's on the journey. If you study Elihu, the end of the book of Job, you'll see how to deal with this. This is a complaint against the very nature of God. I will not hold back my complaint about what you are doing, God, and in fact, how wrong you are, God. Okay. Bold print. Italicized, underlined, whatever. You see, people, Job is not unlike many Christians in history. He is not unlike you. Or if you want to word it another way, you're not unlike Job. So don't be in fear about your bitterness tonight. Job and many Christians have got all figured out. Job 1, chapter 1, all enters with Job's got all figured out. Job chapter 1, verse 1, everyone, nearly every commentator you'll read says this is a Job's praise. I'm here to tell you it's Job's problem, not his praise. He's got God all figured out. He knows how God operates. If I'm good, God will be good to me. If I'm bad, God will get me. And now we're seeing that with distress and depression and bitterness now. He has God all figured out. Job knows God, or thinks he does. Job knows how God ought to act. And what is going on in his life is not according to his view of God. Why are you bitter? Because my view of God is that if God loved me, this wouldn't be happening. Who told you that? Who told you that? That's the view of God. Got to understand about God. Bitterness often arises in our souls because of our false view of God. I'm going to repeat that. I hope you'll get it in your soul. bitterness often arises in our souls because of a false view of God. And so you say to God, and what Job is saying to God, you, God, are not playing by the rules. You're not playing by the way you ought to be. And when God does not act like God ought to act, bitterness sets in. Now, look at your passage with me. I want to show you something. We'll study it. We're not through with noting it slowly, but I just want to give you the feel of what's going on. I am sick. Verse 1, I am sick of my own life. And therefore, since I'm sick of it, I will give full vent to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, see, it's toward God, do not condemn me. Let me know why thou hast contend with me. Must be something I've done wrong. Otherwise, this wouldn't be happening to me. I'm just so bitter. Look at verse 3. The view of God now. Is it right for you indeed to oppress, to reject the labor of your hands while I'm yours? And look what you're doing to me. And to look favorably on the schemes of the wicked? And then he's going to ask in the following verses three questions, which we'll not get into in this study. But I want you to see what's going on. God, why are you just letting my life get so worse and worse and worse? You're wrong, God. I may not be perfect, but I'm not this bad. Because, see, we've got it in our mind that when you're bad, bad things happen. And that's the way most Christians deal with one another, and you're wrong. Sometimes when you see Christians going through the most unbelievable of adversity, they may be the closest to God, closer than you will ever be. Not necessarily, but that may be what's going on. That's the first thing we learn in the book of Job. Looks like his life's falling apart. Job's on the journey to having a relationship with God that very few Christians have throughout all church age. Out of bitterness toward God, many have walked away from God. Out of bitterness toward God, many have walked away from God, from even desiring a relationship with God, and Satan's won. That's exactly what he wants you to do. I throw up my hands. If this is the way you are, God, let me tell you something, God. I can do just as good without you. I mean, if I'm this miserable with you, boy, I can be this miserable without you. I don't need to play this game. And I'm going to show you, men, hopefully next week, bitterness is strongly related to marriage, and it's a characteristic of husbands. And I'll show you why. Why many men are bitter in their marriages, and women can be bitter also, but it's characteristic of men because they blame their wives for where their life is. They have this thing about what a wife ought to be and she's not. And so you become bitter. I can be this pitiful without you. I can be this miserable without you. And that's what a lot of people do with God, out of bitterness. Not anger. It'll go into anger. But it's really just eating away bitterness. We saw from the beginning of bitterness, the stronghold is extremely dangerous. You're sick of your life and you blame God, and so you just don't need God. Don't need him. And this is what will happen in marriages. The exact same thing will be demonstrated. Will demonstrate themselves, that we're seeing here, will demonstrate themselves, especially from the husband to the wife. I just don't need you. You've made my life miserable. And it's just getting worse, and I'm sick of my life. And I blame you. I will voice my complaint against you. I married you for enjoyment and companionship and sex and so on. And I'm sick of my life. You've ruined it. I'm sick of you. This is the voicing of the complaint of bitterness. And we have to tear the stronghold down, and it'll tear your life up, people. It'll tear your marriage up. It'll tear your spiritual life up. And I care about both, but right now I care most about the spiritual life, your relationship with God. Verse 10, verse 1, I loathe my own life, and my soul is sick of my life. Therefore, I will give full vent to my complaint. Now, what's he saying here? I will lay down my complaint against you. Stay with me now. Because in this, listen, and those of you that are around people who finally let the vent of bitterness go, they're thinking, this is not an irrational, crazy man going crazy. People get this idea when they see this coming forth from someone or some Christian like Job, oh boy, he's just lost it. But if you stand back and listen, no, he's thinking very clearly, expressing things, and you've got to listen. Now what he's doing is, I will lay my complaint against you. You are wrong, God. I am going to vindicate myself by showing you that you're wrong. That's what Job is going to do. You are wrong, God, for making my life so bitter. And I'm going to show you that you are. Now look what he says. I will speak the bitterness of my soul. I will speak the bitterness of my soul. What do we have here? I was studying all of these things. In this study, I would often just stop. I did this in our study for last night's Revelation. I don't know why these two classes together, but when I was preparing this, I find myself more than common, and I do it sometimes, but more than usual, just stopping and praying that I can make this clear, that I can make what's going on here clear to you, that the Spirit will give me the simplicity to do it, not difficulty. It's not difficult. It's very simple if I can make it clear to you. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. This describes the manner. This describes the manner of his complaint, not the source. Now, what have I just said? He is not lashing out his complaint from bitterness. Now, he is bitter. Do not misunderstand that. I'm not saying, you're saying he's not bitter. No, he is bitter about his life. He is bitter about his life. But I would like you to see what's going on in the Hebrew here. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Not so much even in the Hebrew. What's going on in Job? I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. He is not lashing out his complaints from bitterness, but he will lash out his complaints against God bitterly. Now, Herman, were you just playing with words? No. Let me see if I can give you a simple illustration. A lawyer, somebody comes in, he takes the case, he goes through all the research, he goes to court, tries the case, it's all over. But let's say someone walks in, and what is going on just gets in the lawyer's crawl. Boy, it's against the rich people. Man, I hate rich people, and boy, I am going after them bitterly. So it's not a bitterness that's coming from his own life. It may be, because he's experienced something, but I'm going to get those rich people here. I'm going to get the doctor. I'm going to get the wife. I'm going to get the husband. I'm going after them. It's not just a trial case. It's not just a case any longer. He's bitter at the way the person has acted that he's going after. I hope that is clear to you. God is not acting right, and I am bitter at God because God, you're not acting right. And I'm bitter at you for doing it. I'm very bitter, is what Job is saying, at the way you're acting. He will lash out his complaints against God bitterly. Now, the best way to do this is to think of this as a courtroom scene. Job is, as it were, bringing to God to court. He's bringing God to court. These are legal terms that he's using. His own life is horrible, and it is God's fault. God is not living up to his part, or what Job thinks he should. And he will present his case against God, and he will do it bitterly because he's bitter at God for God not doing what he ought to do. Yes, he's bitter about the circumstances that are going on in his life every day that will not change, but he's bitter at God because God is not acting like God ought to act. What are you doing with me, God? You're wrong. And I'm bitter at you for what you're doing in my life. Now, if you were sitting here listening on this and you haven't gone through this, you don't understand it, and you're going to judge these people. You're going to judge Job. And I feel sorry for you. If you've ever been here, if you are here while you're listening to these tapes or internet or whatever, you know what's going on. It's real. It's a stronghold that will destroy your Christian life. So we need to work on this. This is why bitterness is so dangerous. Destroy your relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, with others. So I hope you're able to see. But Job's bitterness, the bitter taste, is not so much about his life. Now, he is bitter about his life. But he's bitter at God for the way God is acting. His life is horrible, painful, and no relief in sight, no hope in sight. It is just virtually over, and he's sick of it. Why? Why is his life where it is? It's God's fault. God is not being a loving God. God is not being what God ought to be. And he will no longer remain silent. It has come time to take God to court. It has come time to take God to task. He will voice his complaints bitterly against God. The way God is acting makes him sick in his soul. That's pretty stout. And if it wasn't for because this was in a book, you'd say, boy, whoever's like that, God's going to wipe them out. Well, God's not only not going to wipe out Job, when this is all over, Job's going to have a relationship with God that you would lust after. Not in a simple way, but you would desire. You have a zest for, feel for. Because he's going to understand God. He's going to reach a point. He's going to reach that marvelous point. You're God. I trust you. That's what God has taken him. A lot of Christians say those words, but boy, if they start going through what Job came through, they may not make it. Verse 2. He starts his case. He lashes out bitterness against God. Verse 2. Let's read verses 2 and 3. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Let me know why thou dost contend with me. Is it right for you indeed? See the word right? Don't pass that up. Righteousness. Love. Is it right for you indeed to oppress me, to get the labor of your hands, me, and to look favorably on the schemes of the wicked? All right, God, I'm righteous. I'm not that wicked person. And while you prosper those who do not even know you, those who do not walk with you, and you turn around and let me have it, and continue to have it, and there's just no relief in sight, it's wrong, God. You're wrong. And you're not fair, and you're not being God. And I am bitter with my life, and I'm bitter with you. Okay, let's see what he says. I will say to God. Remember, we're in a courtroom scene. His complaint is before God. And your complaint is before God, if you're honest. Because of God. So we're in a courtroom scene. Job defends himself. He's going to vindicate himself by showing that God is wrong. And you know what they say about someone who defends themselves. They have a fool for a client. Well, Job is defending himself. He's his own attorney. Parentheses. Dear people, do Jesus Christ as your defense attorney. Even when you sin, you shut up. Let Jesus Christ do all the speaking. You just trust the Spirit. You trust what God is doing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He's your defense attorney. Now, what is so interesting about this is that before Job has said that if he dropped his complaint against God, God would still find him guilty. Look back with me at Job 9. I want to go back now. You're going to have to open your Bibles, those of you at home, because this becomes important. Job 9, 27 and 28. This all is flowing. This is all brewing in his soul. I'm just come to the passage dealing with the bitterness. But let's look at Job 9, 27. Though I say, now this is as a lawyer defending himself, I will forget my complaint. I will drop my complaint against God. I will leave off my sad countenance and be cheerful. I'll fake it. Now look at verse 28. I am afraid of my own pain, of all my pains. I know that thou wilt not acquit me. In other words, you're still going to hold it against me. That's what kind of God you are. And I want to tell you something, people right now, that there are a lot of Christians that are saying to you of God, I don't care what happened on the cross, God is holding it against me. Why? Because my friends hold it against me. The church holds it against me. So therefore, God must hold it against me. And no matter what happens, this is what kind of God he is. He's just going to hold me. He's not going to acquit me. People, that is what the cross is about. You're already acquitted. Christ is your defense attorney. Believe that. Don't carry that in the bitterness of your soul. And don't let anyone else. But I want to show you that Job has already said, even if he dropped his case, God is still going to find him guilty. Now he's moved to the point of appearing as if it were in court against God, knowing that it will do no good. He's just said that. But what did he say? I cannot hold it back. See, in the first we read in chapter 9, I'm holding it back. I'm not going to go to court. But, pow! This bitterness finally has to be expressed. That's what we're seeing in 10:1. It's got to be stated. I've got to make my case. I'm hurting too much, and God is so wrong. So he's moved to that point. He can no longer hold it back. He will vent his bitterness. He will present his case. Job's three friends and now Job assume that because things are going so poorly in his life, because he deserves it and he's done wrong. And yet for life for him, he cannot figure out what he's done wrong. This is the view that most people have of God. If you're bad, bad things happen. You're good, good things happen. But that's not the way God works. In Job 9:29, look at that with me. Job 9:29, Job says that he will be found guilty and condemned. Otherwise, why are all these things happening to him? It's got to be it. Look at 9:29. It's got to be that. I am accounted wicked. Why then should I toil in vain? In other words, if I'm not found guilty, these things wouldn't be happening to me. That's my view of God. And that's a lot of Christians' view of God. Your life is falling apart because you're guilty before God. Now let's go and sing how wonderful the cross is. What hypocrites. What liars Christians are. We have a false view of God. Job 9:29 is so important. I would not be experiencing these things if I were not guilty, because God wouldn't let them happen. That's my view of God, and now I'm bitter at God. And then he adds to the problem that there's no umpire, there's no judge to evaluate his complaint against God. Where do you go if you got a complaint against God? Look at 9:33. There is no umpire between us who may lay his hand upon us both. Those of you on tape, I'm talking to my own group here. Who's the umpire that lays his hand on both? Well, Jesus Christ. He took care of it all on the cross. Do you believe that, people? Don't say yes and then go out and act like Job's true friend or even Job. And those of you listening, if you believe what Jesus Christ is, the umpire, the mediator, then don't have this view of God. This is the beginning of breaking down the stronghold of bitterness in your soul. Just coming face to face with the love of God. You can't have both. Look at, I want to read 9:33 and see if you see it now. See Jesus Christ. 9:33. There is no umpire between us, between Job and God, who may lay his hand upon us both. Yes, there is. And his anger is forgotten, just like many Christians. But you see, people, there is someone between you and God that can lay his hand on both. And that's the demonstration of God's love. That's Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of tearing down the bitterness of the soul, the stronghold of bitterness. Now in our passage, Job is pleading that he not be found guilty. I will say to God, do not condemn me. That is, look what he's saying, do not judge me guilty. I am not guilty. I'm vindicating myself. I am not guilty. Do not deserve all that is happening to me. Let me know why thou dost contend with me, why all these things are happening to me. Tell me what I've done wrong. Bitterness comes from a faulty view of God. A view that most Christians have of God, and therefore they judge one another, and they come down on themselves, and they come down on others. Now Job continues in his vent against God. Is it right for thee indeed to oppress me, cause my life to be so bitter, to reject the labor of your hands? I'm saved. I'm striving to righteousness. I'm striving to walk in the Spirit. I want to do your will, and look what's happening to me. Every time I get up, I'm kicked down. And then you look favorably on the schemes of the wicked. That's what kind of God you are. Because we do not understand God, we attack God. This is called the arrogance of ignorance. The arrogance of ignorance. And from the arrogance of ignorance comes stress, anxiety, and depression. Bitterness toward God. We will resume at this point next Wednesday evening. Close in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that people that are experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, especially from bitterness in their soul, the stronghold of bitterness, will start tearing it down so that they can see who and what you really are, like Job did. We cannot know you. You're beyond understanding, because love is beyond understanding, and you're love. So we can trust you. We can do that as mortals. We don't have to figure it out. We can trust you if we will. But for every day that we do not walk in faith, that day is a day that a stronghold of bitterness can take its control. I pray, Father, that in the study of this gift, give me, give this assembly the truth, that we can help those who experience the stronghold of bitterness. It produces stress and depression with and in their life, in their relationship with you. The Spirit will bring them to the realization of the magnificent God you are, how big you really are, what an awesome God you are. Don't have to figure you out. I trust you. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.